One of my favorite parts of the show, AJ joining us at ringside.
I'm my favorite part of the show, too.
Really?
Thank you.
I never thought you and I would agree on anything.
Miracles happen.
Yeah. You consider yourself the front runner for Diva of the Year.
Clearly. I mean, I have been the champion for 174 days.
Wow. Wow, man.
I have someone like Tamina by my side. There's no one that can touch me. And let's just all collectively agree that if for some reason I magically don't win, the fix is in.
Well, of course,
the fix by who? Here's the cover.
That machine.
Tamina.
And these women, they're not worthy of me defending my title against them, and yet they get shot after shot. I don't understand.
Cover again.
It's 6 months of unnecessary title matches.
So if
there are no competitors right now.
So if Tamina, if they chip up against Tamina.
Tamina is possibly the only woman that is worthy of it, but she knows where her bread is buttered. And I mean it quite literally, because I make a mean breakfast.
You cook her breakfast?
We're partners. Partners in crime.
What about lunch?
Was what I was saying. I'm only good at eggs.
Yeah, but you got to expect, Tamina's a competitor, AJ, and you have to expect that at some point in time she's going to want an opportunity at the
place.
Title.
Tamina knows her place, and that is being the scary, scary woman behind the wall.
Oh, and
it looked here like Nikki Bella was about to put you away when Tamina kicked Nikki right in the face. And then you take advantage, AJ, delivering the shiny wizard to a Nikki Bella and picking up the victory. So congratulations on the win Monday night and welcome to Friday Night SmackDown.
You know, if you watch that in slow motion, you can pinpoint the exact moment where she forgets math. It's pretty great.
All math or just like hard math? Like
I don't know if she knew any to begin with.
So AJ,
knee to the face of Tamina, and now Bree's starting to build some momentum.
You think Tamina chipped a tooth there too, or is that just Nikki?
Been an unbelievable 2013 too for Bree Bella. You saw in the season finale of Total Divas, Rhea accepted the engagement of Daniel Bryan.
Wow, that's really exciting. That should make her number one contender because she's engaged.
Hook of the leg again and a kick out. Season two of Total Divas gets underway on the E! Network in March. And have you had any overtures from Total Divas to be a part of the show?
Wow.
No, I was hugged as a child, so I'm not desperate
for attention. And Bree kicked out at 2.5.
Tamina knows that, you know, she wants to be the best, and I'm the person to be with. Everything I touch turns to gold.
Summer Rae comes in off the tag, and Italian Summer Rae has had issues on Total Divas. Sunday nights on the E! Network, and there's Nikki. Here's a cover hook of the leg yet again. AJ Lee, longest running Divas champion in history.
Just one of many things that are impressive in my resume.
278 days.
278 days. I'm the best Divas champion of all time. I'm the best Diva ever set foot in that ring. I mean, everything I've done has turned into gold. I was the best valet. I'm the best commentator at this table right now.
Cover by Summer Rae. If you were the best commentator, you would call the cover, but nonetheless, you were
That's true. You did miss that. You're in the top three as far as the commentators here.
I was even the best general manager that this company has ever seen.
That's right. You were a general manager of Raw at one point.
Yeah, I mean, who's running the show? Who put this match together right now? Is this Vicky Guerrero's work?
Yeah,
I mean,
she's the general manager of SmackDown.
Wow, well, this match is a train wreck. Tell Grandma if she wants any advice on how to run a proper show. Grandma Vicky?
And look at Bree Bella, Natalya,
the big clothesline. One of the toughest divas, I think, of all time, Natalya.
Natalya's a nice girl. She's certainly tough, and she's a talented, albeit bland and generic wrestler, but that's all she is.
And Natalya rolling up Tamina here, looking to win this matchup in Tamina.
Let's just put it frankly, she's as boring as sin. The champion should be
package. In fairness, though, AJ, she is one of the stars on Total Diva. It's one of the hit shows of the year.
Oh!
Yeah, and I've made every single member of that show tap out.
Samoan dropped by Tamina, who is now in control.
But no, let's just continue to give them chances and chances, one after the other. I mean, Natalya has had 6 or 7 years of chances, and she's done nothing. What do you want her to grow a personality overnight? Not gonna happen.
It is a good show. You ever watch it?
Tamina top rope, going for the superfly splash. Natalya rolls out of the way.
Almost sounded like you were, AJ, maybe a bit jealous that you weren't invited on the reality show.
And look at this.
Sharpshooter. Natalya and Nancy.
Oh, look at this.
Natalya here and a kick out of two.
Why would I be jealous? My first love my entire life has been this. These girls want to be in movies. They want to be actresses. This is their second love. It's disgusting and despicable.
I question you saying that because Natalya has had this in her blood her whole life.
Natalya is as boring as watching paint dry. She's not talented.
No one
deserves this. I do.
From Naomi, here's the cover. Where's she going? And now AJ.
Well, did you expect anything less from her?
So Natalya, Naomi, and Brie to take on.
On the other side of the ring, Layla, Alicia Fox, and Oksana, and here we go.
So one team made up of the three divas, along with AJ Lee, who will make the fatal four-way match Sunday at Night of Champions for your championship, AJ.
Ooh. One team made of actual divas is what you meant to say.
Well, what is your problem with the cast of Total Divas?
My problem with the cast of Total Divas is that they're the cast of a reality show. They're not here for this title.
The rear view by Naomi. If she connects with that on Sunday.
This is what is reality, this championship. And you know what, all week long, these girls have been tweeting about me, talking about me, yelling to .com, crying and screaming. Do you know why?
Oh, man.
They're complaining I'm their every single thought because they know I am right and I am getting to them.
Is that how fights start nowadays? You tweet each other?
For them, apparently. I said what I had to say to their face.
So you have no desire to go on that reality show and really mix it up with those girls?
It's certainly a big hit.
I have the date I won this title tattooed in the back of my neck. This is all I care about.
Any other tattoos?
And
I think I'm a little too old for you, Jerry. I'm 26. Oh, I know you like him younger.
Here's the cover, a shoulders down, and a kick out at 2 AJ Feisty tonight.
And I didn't say what I said on that stage for attention. These girls are attention hungry. I didn't say it for attention.
Too, okay.
I didn't say what I said to piss anybody off.
Whoa.
What I said on that stage was a call to arms. It was a call to make these girls do better. Step it up. Otherwise, they don't deserve a shot.
AJ, on WWE.com right now, a number of the divas are speaking out against you in a
Let me just add this straight up, right out here. Are you jealous of the divas because you're not on Total Divas?
I don't know how many times I have to explain that this is what it's about.
Why didn't they
If they can't
you?
Do better, if they can't be the total package, they don't deserve a shot.
Here's Natalya. Nice suplex to Alicia Fox by Natalya. And you know, AJ, that fatal four-way on Sunday, you only have a 25% chance of retaining your championship.
And I was a one-in-a-million chance to make it here and to be champion, and I defy those odds.
First diva to gain pinfall or submission Sunday will be the Divas champ.
Did he not want you, or did you choose not to be on it?
No, I was busy main-eventing Raw. I don't know, I was running the show for a year. I don't know if you guys, paid attention, but I was actually doing so.
We're actually here for most of the shows.
You were main-eventing Raw?
I've made a minute Raw like three times. Pay attention to the show. Watch the product.
Oh, AJ,
you have those dates tattooed on your neck, too? You have death like a giraffe.
Here for the sharpshooter. On Alicia.
This could be you, AJ.
It's locked in.
This could be you.
Alicia taps out.
You might have to tap the date. Put that date on your neck, dude. Tapped out.
Feisty tonight. Perhaps he's a bit concerned that she may lose Precious Divas Championship in the Fatal 4-Way match Sunday.
And don't forget her tattoo of her date. I think the whole month is spelled out or just in numbers.
One of these three women.
I hope it's not November.
It's could be the Divas Champion.
Certainly not the only date she's had.
Look, I don't need an army, okay? I'm a one-girl revolution, but these girls, they agree with me. They understand what I'm saying. They're tired of their talent being wasted.
Look at everybody getting involved now.
They are tired of their opportunities being taken just so we can promote a reality show.
There are divas everywhere.
Some would say maybe it's jealousy of you not being wanted on the Diva show.
You know, JBL, every time you guys talk to me like that, you say things that are about jealousy or boys or makeup and kittens. You demean, you belittle, you trivialize everything
guys,
that this title
guys,
is supposed
guys,
to mean.
Can we switch gears now and head towards Sunday?
I am trying to save the Divas division. You're trying to, set the women's movement back?
AJ, can I ask you a serious question? You have to defend the Divas Championship Sunday in a fatal four-way match against Natalya, Brie Bella, and Naomi. You only have a 25% chance to keep the championship. Here's a cover and a kick out.
Look, I wish one of these
was
women would prove me wrong. I wish that
also?
They would prove me wrong because that would mean that maybe this division could survive. But they won't. They can't. They've been here for years. I came way after all of them. And what did they do? Did they main event Raw? Did they get the ratings I had? Do they sell t-shirts? No, not one of them can say that.
Hey.
This should mean everything to them. If it doesn't, they don't belong here.
And see, that's why I don't understand why you have issues with the girls on Total Divas, because they, just like you, want to be Divas champion. They respect the business. They want to be a part of WWE.
They want a camera on their pretty little face. That's what they want.
If they put you on the show,
here comes
the talent. Help alleviate any of these problems you have?
I don't want to be on that show. I want to be in that ring, being champion until I'm an old woman.
This past Monday night on Raw. AJ must have felt good to get Nikki to tap out a couple of weeks ago on Raw in a tag team match.
It's always therapeutic. I also just want to point out I am the only diva to win the Slammy for Diva of the Year twice.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I like to make history, and I want to be the only diva, the first diva, to win the Divas Championship four times.
Oh!
And that's going to happen someday.
You're also the longest reigning diva in history, nearly 300 days.
Are you discounting the Fabulous Moolah, Michael?
I said Divas champion.
Okay, we'll make that difference.
Fabulous Moolah was a women's champion. AJ is a Divas champion.
All I'm saying is make the difference. I respect.
Whoa.
But I have faith when I win the title again, I'm going to keep it for as long as she kept the women's title.
28 years?
Yeah, that's the plan.
Oh, Alicia Fox catches one from Nikki.
That'll put us in 2042.
I'm moisturized, 52. So,
you know, I'll see. 22. Oh, my God.
You can join us every week till then. That'd be great. John be retired by then.
Michael will be 112 by then.
Take another look at this.
Oh!
Big slap from the Divas champion.
Some Divas champion we have here. I mean, she's like the villain in every bad 80s teen movie. She's the mean high school, the head cheerleader.
Regina George.
Yes, yeah. Hey, I'm really proud of her.
Into the cover here on Fox and a
always,
kick out.
Always liked those villains, kind of.
Yeah, she's the bad guy that thinks she's the good
guy. Nikki better worry about Alicia, former Divas champion in her own right.
Right now she has Alicia tied up like a pretzel.
Really like a pretzel.
Similar.
AJ, you look a bit disinterested in Nikki.
That sort of is my face.
Is your face?
No, I'm just trying. I'm just echoing all of the sentiments of our fans who are disinterested in Nikki as champions.
You think all of them? 100% of them. Can't
well,
be 100%.
I mean, who do they vote for Diva of the Year? They know what's up.
Shoulders down and Alicia kicks out.
Yeah, not sure if you saw the expression on Nikki's face when you won, but she was not pleased as you walked away to gather your trophy.
I think that might also just be her face. I think it just always settles into a scowl.
You got a thing with faces.
Some faces disinterested, some faces are scowls. Tom's just stuck in nerd mode.
He can't get out of it. He keeps trying. Every day he gets up, I'll try a different face. It doesn't say your old face.
You need to reference more teen girl movies.
That's never a teen girl.
Alicia Fox starting to pick things up here.
Oh, man.
Into the backbreaker. Oh, Northern Lights suplex into the cover on Nikki and a kick out of two.
Not bode well for Nikki to lose here tonight, 2 days before facing AJ.
I mean, I feel like you guys aren't, like, super interacting with me, aren't asking me a lot of questions, not really appreciating me while I'm here.
Well, no, we're always appreciating you.
You're going to miss me when I'm gone.
Well, you join us out here every week, so
you're going to be here until 2042,
though. I'm not going to be here in the next segment.
I'm
not going to be here in the next segment.
But, AJ, you're here with us every week. You're, like, part of the family. It's like a four-man booth.
I think we should make it, or at least, you know, get rid of one of you.
Well, yeah, the guy in the middle.
Oh,
man.
What a forearm.
So, AJ, how's life?
Not great for Alicia Fox at the moment.
Thanks for getting back to the mat.
Off the big forearm from Nikki.
That's how it's done.
Oh, a rack attack from Nikki.
That could be you Sunday.
It won't.
And the Divas champion gets the win here on Friday night.
Here is your winner, the Divas.
I told you she was disinterested. She didn't even say goodbye to us.
Bella.
Just because she doesn't like you, Michael. I'm the only person AJ actually likes.
Hopefully. Hopefully that audio picked up really well and everyone, you know, my audience was able to hear it. I will not be able to go in and edit any of that out. If that's the case, if it didn't pick up very well, or for that matter, if some segments feel like that they're underwater or anything of that nature, I do apologize for just throwing that audio segment, 15-minute audio segment at you guys without any sort of setup toward it. But the setup is going to come now. Hello, everyone, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Mocha. This is the Mocha Revolution podcast. I'm joking. This is the Gut Wrench podcast, a podcast in which that I cultivated in order to write a one-man wrestling dynasty. This is episode 58. For those of you keeping track canonically, and welcome to the Gut Wrench podcast. As I pull up my notes on my phone, or rather on my laptop, it's a lot easier to pull them up on my laptop because otherwise I'll be looking down at my phone while I'm recording. There we go. They pulled up and they're updating. So, let's talk about the WWE Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania 30. Why in the hell did we just listen to that segment? Provided that the commentary that you just listened to picked up at least the majority of it very, very well. Because, of course, I was playing it through a speakerphone into a microphone. So I don't know what you heard. Whenever they open the show, they open it with what seems to be a Red Hot Chili Peppers song of some sort, and for whatever reason they talk about Daniel Bryan. They talk about Daniel Bryan, a man who was once in his lifetime an underdog, and an underdog that he's been his entire life. And why has he been an underdog his entire life? Because everyone's always counted him out, apparently. You know, the thing was, back then, Bryan never really impressed me. It got to a point to where I would stay up late nights and I would make YouTube videos about the fact that Bryan didn't deserve anything that he got. And he kept receiving opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, only to be shut down, or for that matter, kicked in the head, to be stopped, to be stomped out. And it didn't make for a good story. It never made for a good story. There was no real feeling of him being some sort of ultimate underdog, because he was never counted out to begin with. But they show some montage behind some music that's like just people picking on him and him rising to the top of the occasion through trials and tribulation. And I'm putting trials and tribulation in air quotes, because there were no trials, there were no tribulation, there was nothing that actually happened in his IRL life, or for that matter in the WWE, that actually made it feel like he was an actual underdog going up against giants that were actually there to count him out, or for that matter to stop him from winning. stomp out his flame, so to speak. The only real underdog story here was the fact that he was just going to be shoved down our throats on a constant basis. If anything, if you was to watch a movie of my life, not to make this about me or not or anything like that, you would understand why I'm more of an underdog than Daniel Bryan. Though Sami Zayn, once again, I associate him with being an underdog because they call him the ultimate underdog or the underdog from down under, which doesn't make any sense, seeing as though that he's not from Australia, he's from Canada. Nonetheless, that's a topic for another video. At the beginning of the program, they ask him a question. It's primarily The Miz talking. The Miz, who was his pro in a program known as NXT. He asks him, "Where's your personality? Where's your charisma?" Miz to Daniel Bryan in NXT. It shows the, and then I put this in air quotes too on my notes, evolution of Daniel Bryan, because, and as I said in my notes, if that's what you want to call it, Bryan's evolution is lazy at best, and if you want to call it character evolution, only time would tell that he would get a lot better, but it would be once he left the WWE that he would get a lot better. And shout out to you, Daniel Bryan, because you did prove me wrong. I didn't think that you would, but after years and years and years, you finally proved me wrong. But I sat down here and I wrote 3 to 5 paragraphs on why I was going to practically degrade you on my podcast this week, but I don't see a point in doing that. I'm going to give you all the short version. I hated Daniel Bryan. I seen no worth in his character whatsoever. He would win the United States Championship. They show him winning a Slammy, which, by the way, is voted on by you, the WWE Universe, which is what they call their fan base. Which, you know, it's not a popularity contest. If anything, if they're going to be giving away end of the year awards, it should be given away to, like, you know, those of us that work hard. If they were to give away end of the year podcast awards, I would greatly appreciate a nomination. Because holy crap, is it hard to really just sit down, write notes, type out notes, do whatever it takes, so to speak, you know, not to rip off any modern day musical performers, but to do whatever it takes, basically, to come up with an itinerary every single week and hope to God that there's actually people out there who listen. A 2014 Monday Night Raw episode was better than Monday Night Raw episode, which was before the SummerSlam, or in between SummerSlam and WrestleMania. It was aptly named the Yes Movement Takeover. I was talking about, of course, the Monday Night Raw, wherever every fan jumped the barricade, and then they were like, yes, 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 because that's all that Bryan does, right? It was so annoying. Growing up with this in 2014 was so annoying, and I can't tell you that I had practically no one around me who understood how annoying and how stupid and how, just to use a word, retarded it really was, because for whatever fucking reason, everybody wanted to point in the air and go, yes, 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 and it drove me insane. I was like, how does someone get over? How does someone get over in the wrestling business when all they do is the one simple thing, and that's put your fucking pointer finger in the air, move your hand up and down, and then just say yes. It made no sense whatsoever. Now I'm going to go out on a small rant. It's going to be considered somewhat of a mini rant. And I'm going to compare... Where's my phone? Okay. I'm going to compare Brian to Chris Benoit. Now, a lot of you might be wondering, what an odd comparison. You know, right? Is it an odd comparison? Let's go ahead and see point number one. They're both technical wrestlers. Point number two, similar move set, including the diving headbutt and the crossface. Point number three, held the title less than a day, WCW for Chris Benoit and WWE for Daniel Bryan. Number five, lost his world title to Orton at SummerSlam. Of course, that would be both of them, Bryan and Benoit. Six, made his debut in a group called the Radicals, which was Benoit, of course. Six made his group in a made his debut in a group known as the Nexus. Of course, that would be Bryan. Fit a, for some reason it says FT in a tag team match at WrestleMania 19, team with the War Machine Rhino. I guess it means featured. Featured in a tag team match at WrestleMania 29, teamed with the Big Red Machine Kane. 8, won the world title in the main event of WrestleMania 20 in a triple threat match by crossface submission. And he did the same thing. 8, won the world title in the main event of WrestleMania at WrestleMania 30 in a triple threat match with a crossface submission maneuver. 9, both of his opponents were a faction in DX. And 9, both of his opponents were once a faction in Evolution. 10, fought Kane in the pay-per-view, fought Kane in a pay-per-view later. Yes, so they both did that. 11, featured in a ladder match at WrestleMania 31 for Bryan, and featured in a ladder match at WrestleMania 21 in Chris Benoit. Thank you, good night. I'm joking, that show's not over. But I wanted to go on this whole big roast, just roasting Daniel Bryan, but at the beginning of the program, I decided to play that audio clip that you just, hopefully, you heard. So, this episode was primarily, seeing as though that Paige just returned to WWE, Soraya, returned to AEW, returned to wrestling, I should say, we were going to discuss the implication that Paige had made, or the history, rather, that Paige had made over the years that she was a wrestler. And I decided that it was a good idea to start on the night that she won her first, I'm going to put this in air quotes, Divas Championship. But the only way that I could do that, the only way that I felt comfortable doing that, is by allowing you to have some education about who her champion, who our champion, rather, was before it was Paige. Her name is AJ Lee. She is known to many as the Black Widow. I'm sorry, let me do that again, as the Black Widow, because I don't know if my audio picked it up or not. But first, we must go into the episode itself. This is talk about the evolution of Bray Wyatt. He's been doing today versus what he did then. So the crowd automatically knows who the Wyatt family is. And at this point in time, Bray Wyatt just got done with a with a match at WrestleMania against John Cena where, quote, John Cena gave in to his inner demons, or that's what Bray Wyatt wanted him to do. And one thing that they said on commentary is that Bray Wyatt made John Cena give in to his inner demons. So they cheer for the Wyatt family. Does the New Orleans crowd, as well as the fact that whenever he comes out, he lights that big ominous candle, and then he blows out the lantern, and then he says, "New Orleans, we're here." And then they go, not only sing his theme song, but throughout the match, they start singing the hymn that he sung not that long ago. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. Of course, he's referring to the fact that Bray Wyatt has the whole world in his hands, and he's not referring to either the devil or Jesus, which is what it was originally about, I'm going to assume. John Cena sucks, Chance. What's wrong with Harper? Jerry Lawler says he could make an entire laundry list about what's wrong with Harper, and it wouldn't contain Harper's laundry, because apparently, according to JBL, that's the cleanest dirty shirt Harper has. The cleanest dirty shirt, I mean, okay, it looks like it's got pit stains on it, but that's okay, you know what, I'm just gonna roll right past that one. I give it 3.5 stars, out of 5. Eric Rowan has been banned from the zoo, is what Jerry Lawler says, and then whenever JBL asks him why, he says, "I don't know. That's all that I was told." He was banned from the zoo. Then after that, we get a few commercial breaks. Of course, something you should know. Really fast, before I continue to the next segment, is that this match was high-flying at times. Powerhouse of an opening contest. But after he wins, one thing that Bray Wyatt tended to say at this time, he would be on his knees, and then he would always stare up at the lights while laughing, this demonic laugh that he would always laugh. And then he, as the camera's zooming in on this man, he always said, "Follow the buzzards." Now me, I never really understood why he would say that. Follow the buzzards. What exactly does that mean? You follow the buzzards and you're going to find something dead, apparently. So why would he say that? It's, I don't know, just character development at its finest, I guess. Bo Dallas vignette where he says, "A lot of people think the word impossible means incapable, but you're really looking at it, you're really looking at the word wrong," he said. "Because if you actually look at it, it says, I'm possible." And then we get our next contest, which is, of course, Fandango and, I don't know, find it, Fandango and Summer Rae versus Santino and Emma. NBC wants their logo back, apparently, and that's what JBL says. Jerry Lawler on commentary says, "I love Summer Rae," and I don't blame him. Oh, okay. He says, "I love Summer Rae like a pig loves not being bacon." My fault. And the crowd is going crazy for that ballroom music, which I thought about playing too. I thought about, maybe I should scrap the whole AJ Lee idea, you know, because it's going to take too long to explain to everyone, and just play the Fandango music, you know, the ballroom dancing. Maybe that's what I should do, but I decided to go with the AJ Lee thing. And don't worry, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to the hopefully my audio picked it up. That's all that I'm going to say. So hopefully you guys didn't hear something like, you know, like for the first 14 minutes. Okay, so whenever Santino and Emma come out, the commentaries give them a hard time and say, it's like two car wrecks in the same garage. Talking about Emma and Santino, talk about the hypothetical WWE, the hypocritical, it doesn't say hypothetical. Okay, so WWE is kind of hypocritical in a way, because they did, here they're talking about how they're going to honor the Ultimate Warrior, how they're going to induct the Ultimate Warrior into the Hall of Fame. But if you've ever seen a DVD that they did back in the day, and I'm not really sure why they did it, but nonetheless, they want you to forget about it. But they did a DVD called The Self-Destruction of the Ultimate Warrior, and they basically shit on the Ultimate Warrior from such a height that it would almost be like God himself took a crap on that man, because they defamed his character so much. But afterwards they realized, hey, wait a minute, we had made a huge mistake. We're going to go ahead and scrap that DVD that we just made, and we're not going to talk bad about him anymore. Nonetheless, I gave the Fandango and Summer Rae versus Santino and Emma match, I gave it 1 out of 5 stars. It was over in like a minute and 30 seconds. Emma makes Summer Rae tap out to her submission maneuver she calls the Emma Lock, which is basically just an STF. They talk about the Undertaker's undefeated streak a little bit, and whenever they do, I thought that I would preface this by saying that Charlotte Flair, Ric Flair's daughter, is actually 5-0 at WrestleMania, or I'm sorry, at SummerSlam at this point in time, not WrestleMania. Do not quote me in saying that she is 5-0 at WrestleMania, because I do not believe that she is. But she is undefeated at the SummerSlam event, and if they was to keep that going, perhaps they would have another streak that would be unbeaten or unmatched at the SummerSlam pay-per-view. But at some point in time, I'm sure they're going to be inconsistent about it, because they never bring it up. Chanting bullshit at Paul Heyman in all reality, no one wants to see their heroes die, and when you're faced with that reality, sometimes it hurts to just look at that reality. I think that's why people are upset or mad that the Undertaker's undefeated streak unfortunately came to an end. Rumors that I've heard had told me that the Undertaker was supposed to kick out, but he broke his hip off of the F5. I have yet to confirm whether or not these rumors are true. Paul Heyman gets a 4.5-minute promo spot to talk about how conquering Brock Lesnar is, and at some points it got so repetitive because he went on and on and on. He just kept droning on about how Brock Lesnar is a conqueror, and Brock Lesnar eats sandwiches, and Brock Lesnar is the big guy. Brock Lesnar might even be Santa Claus. You know, like, it got so repetitive that I just started pressing the on Peacock, there's like a fast forward button, and I kind of pressed it once, twice, maybe three or four times, but it only lets you go forward 15 seconds. Our next matchup is a WWE Tag Team Championships match as the champions, Jimmy and Jey Uso versus Orton and Batista. And honestly, this one's, the match barely even starts before Orton and Batista start to lose their cool. They go outside and then they start hitting the Usos with like metal chairs and everything else. And another thing that I thought that it would be fun to talk about is the fact that the Usos at this point in time were not as smart as what they were before. So, for whatever reason, they both decide that it's a great idea to come out looking exactly alike or exactly similar in one way or another. And commentary, as well as myself, is having a hell of a time telling one Uso from another one. So, we have to agree that whenever we're referring to the Usos, we have to call them by their last name rather than their first name, because we don't know whether or not that's Jimmy or that's Jey. Nowadays, the Usos, one of them will have different color hair, or one of them will take off their shirt, or, you know, some small distinction, because it's hard to tell twins apart. I can barely tell my cats apart whenever they're walking around, and I can tell two of them apart, most definitely, but whenever you put all three of them together, it's kind of difficult for me to manage to, tell them apart, because they're twins. So, with that as an example, and I gave this match 1 out of 5 stars, it barely gets started before it even gets finished. And the evolution of the Usos is honestly something that you should take into consideration as well. Because before, nowadays they don't do what they used to. But before, back then, they would come out to that hookah that they would do that, Amo Samo, which is like their traditional Samoan dance that their relatives would do before they would go into battle, which is pretty goddamn good if you ask me. I mean, who would have known that you had some sort of haiku that you did, some sort of poem, you know, hey, before we go into battle, we might want to say the traditional, you know, dance or whatever it is. A vignette for Adam Rose. He says, "Hi, I'm Adam Rose, and in my world, it's party time all the time." And then he gets back on his bus, which is called the Exotic Express. And you don't hear from him except for later on in the night, and don't worry, we'll get to that. Damian Sandow versus Rob Van Dam, and I give it to an 2 out of 5 stars. It was fast-paced action, but it was the first time seeing Rob Van Dam in quite some time. And a lot of people would always ask me, do you think he's related to Claude Van Damme? And, you know, I didn't know who that was growing up, but now that I do, I'm not really sure whether or not he's related to Claude Van Damme. I'm thinking that it's just a clever play on his word, on his wrestling name, you know, Rob Van Damme. RVD. I talk about what happened the past 2 weeks with Rey Mysterio's son and Dominic. Okay, so the next match is Rey Mysterio versus B&B Bad News Barrett. And what ends up happening is, what ends up happening is basically, I don't necessarily know about this match in particular, but I do know that last week or 2 weeks ago, Dominic came home and Rey Mysterio has a bum knee and he brings this woman home with him, saying that he's bringing her home for the family, bringing her home to, you know, get to know the family, so to speak. And what ends up happening is Rhea Ripley basically takes a framed picture and knocks it over Rey Mysterio's bum leg. And from what I've seen on Instagram, Dominic just lays into him, and Dominic is Rey's son. And halfway through this match, on commentary, they say, "You're still mad that at WrestleMania 25, Rey Mysterio retired you. JBL said, keep talking because I'm not listening." Oh, my God. And then we get another Adam Rose vignette where he says, "This is my current ex-girlfriend," and she kisses him on the cheek. And he said, "This is my future ex-girlfriend," and she kisses him on the other cheek. They both kiss him on the cheek. And then he says, "Here on the Exotic Express, it's party time all the time." I'm just sitting there like, okay, I get it. You're a little flamboyant. You're a little up in the air. You're taking drugs on your little bus. And then there's someone that shows up in a bunny costume. He says, "I love bunnies," in the most British accent that you can ever imagine. This guy is like a box of Cheerios, you know, or Fruit Loops. Not Cheerios, Fruit Loops. That's exactly what he is. He's a box of Fruit Loops. But Adam Rose would make his debut weeks later after a bunch of these vignettes continue. Oh my God. The next match we have is Zack Ryder versus Alexander Rusev. They keep... So I don't know whether Bulgaria and Russia are the same thing. Like, I honestly don't know whether Bulgaria, Mongolia, or Russia are like the same place. I'm sorry for my lack of education in geographical locations. But commentary keeps calling Alexander Rusev the Bulgarian Brute, and at times referring to him as a Russian. So, whether or not he's Russian or Bulgarian, or whether or not that's the same thing, or a... a completely different... I'm sorry, there are people outside my window right now, and I don't know whether or not they're about to come into my house. If they do, I'm going to mute. And I'm not going to turn it back on until after they are gone. Zack Ryder versus Alexander Rusev, and I gave it 1 out of 5 stars. 1 second. I do apologize once again for that interruption. This has been 4 weeks in a row where I have been interrupted at around the 47 minute mark. So I do apologize for the interruption. But getting on to the program and the task at hand here, and once again trying to answer the question that you're all wondering, provided that the audio actually went through, you know, the first 15 minutes of this broadcast. Saturday before WrestleMania 30, the Ultimate Warrior was inducted into the Hall of Fame. Sunday was WrestleMania, and Monday, around the second half hour to the third hour of the show, he gives one last speech, even though he hasn't been in a wrestling ring since like 1969, according to Michael Cole. After giving the speech, from what I'm told, at that time, he went to the back locker room, and he collapsed, and he was later rushed to a hospital and passed away. The Ultimate Warrior died the night after WrestleMania. And here was what I wanted to talk about, what I wanted to make the main focal point of this episode about, and that's why I had this, that's why I played that little audio segment, and we would have gotten here sooner had it not been for a few small interruptions, or for that matter, had it not been for the fact that I had, you know, maybe delayed it a little bit. But nonetheless, let's go ahead and get straight into the action. AJ Lee with a promo spot when Paige interrupts her, and she wants to make an example of Paige, so she decides to put her women's, and yes, I did say woman's championship on the line, not the Divas Championship, because the word diva is so discriminatory toward women, and to call that a Divas division, and yes, I did just put that in air quotes, thank you for noticing, is a little bit discriminatory towards women, because if you know what the word diva means, then you know that it means one who causes drama, maybe, intentionally, or something of that nature. To make an example of Paige, she decides to put her woman's championship on the line and go one-on-one with Paige. She loses, and she was 295 days as champion when she did lose. CM Punk chants ensue, Paige's music hit, and she comes to congratulate AJ, as possibly to shake her hand, and she was only supposed to be a congratulations. What was only supposed to be a congratulations turned into so much more. Now, the chemistry between AJ Lee and Paige, and what it grew into, was the fact that even after AJ lost her championship, AJ would have her rematch. And I'd already looked at one rematch, which was at the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view in 2014, I do believe, which was in October of this year, or not this year, but that year that I'm looking at right now. And this match was over in a minute and a half, maybe. And I wasn't expecting it to. I remember this match being so, so much, you know, more than what it was. Because AJ goes for the Shining Wizard. She kind of misses. Afterwards, Paige trips her. She ends up getting up off of that. Goes into what seems to be some sort of front face lock. throws Paige up against the ropes, arm drags Paige to the ground, and then starts basically like taunting Paige while Paige is on the ground. And after she taunts Paige, she tries to get up. She gets Paige to her feet, and then afterwards tries to hit the Black Widow on Paige, and she can't connect with it. After she's trying to connect with that Black Widow submission maneuver, Paige ends up somehow getting free of the Black Widow submission maneuver, hitting what she calls the Paige Turner, which honestly just looks like a side Russian leg sweep, modified side Russian leg sweep. And whenever she hits it, she pins AJ's shoulders to the mat. 1, 2, 3. Whenever Paige wins, though, it's the way that she sells that win so much. It's like, this is the greatest moment of my entire life, and it really shows on her face. Going back, watching an interview of her being backstage, she literally has tears in her eyes as other women are coming up to her and hugging her and telling her congratulations. It means so much more than what you think it means to win a wrestling championship. Because in order to win a wrestling championship, it has to be a focal point of something that you, yourself, has accomplished as a wrestling champion. You've done something to earn that wrestling championship. So whenever, as Paige said in the interview that I watched, the floodgates opened. She just started crying. And she got emotional. Do apologize for that once again. I was interrupted once again. Hulk Hogan comes out to present the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal trophy to the winner of the match last night, which was Cesaro. And Cesaro tells Zeb Coulter he's a Paul Heyman guy now, and he jumps ship from one manager to another, basically telling Zeb Coulter to go somewhere, and starts hanging out with Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman comes out and he does his usual stick. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Paul Heyman. It never gets old. But after that, we get a Bo Dallas vignette. Once again, he says, you miss 100% of the shot you don't take, so don't be afraid to take your shot at all. All you have to do is believe. And of course, he's being obnoxious for the point of being obnoxious, you know. He actually gives people a hard time whenever he makes his debut. I hate to use this word because I know that I use it a lot, but he's being facetious. He's just, it's like the tail wagging the dog, you know? But I gave Cesaro versus Jack Swagger 2 out of 5 stars. Orton and Batista come out to ambush Bryan, and they hit him with an RKO and a Batista bomb, and Kane hits him with a chokeslam. When Triple H's music hits to make his way down to the ring, because all night they've been hyping up this freaking main event that I haven't told you guys about because it's not worth mentioning. It's not a main event. The only thing that it is that Triple H said that he promises to take away Daniel Bryan's moment. Daniel Bryan, who won the, World Heavyweight and WWE Championship collectively, and in doing so, In doing so, he made a lot of enemies. Let's just put it that way. In WWE's mind, he made a lot of enemies. But there's... Even though I've talked about this collectively on my YouTube channel about how stupid WWE booked this and how stupid it looks to have one man that has two titles, or for that matter, how the one man that actually has two titles has no personality, has no drive, has no ambition. After he won those titles, what did he do? He didn't go on talk shows. He didn't go on podcasts. Wink, wink, nod, nod. He didn't book any appointments at any talk shows, radio shows. He didn't go to make any movies. He didn't write a book. He wasn't featured in any magazine articles. The point, of course, that I'm trying to make and the point that I'm trying to get across is that the man himself has no ambition outside of, I want to be a wrestling champion for the sake of being a wrestling champion. I do apologize once again, ladies and gentlemen, for being interrupted, but it's not my choice, I promise you. Anyway, the point that I'm trying to get across is the fact that you would figure that if you're a wrestling champion, that you would want to elevate the status of the championship that you hold. Think about a boxing champion, for instance. He would want to be on talk show hosts. He would want to be, the most coveted thing in the sport that he's in. He would, for that matter, want to portray himself as a prized fighter and try to elevate his status as a champion. Daniel Bryan, though, at the time, was just happy with being a wrestling champion. Provided that you heard everything at the beginning of the podcast, they were giving AJ a very hard time about the fact that she didn't want to be on a reality TV show about women. Reality TV show about women's wrestling or something of that nature. It's basically everything that doesn't happen inside the wrestling ring, and AJ was trying to get it through their thick skulls that she doesn't want to be on the E! Network's TV show, because unless I think someone else is about to come into my house. Hang on. Okay, unless you want that championship that's over her shoulder to be your number one goal, that's all that she cared about. She didn't want a camera in her face. She didn't want any sort of publicity any way that she could get it. She wanted to be number one in the sport that she competed in. Thank you all so much for joining me. My name is Mocha. I'm here to tell you all to have a good night. And that's a wrap. Sorry for... closing the show so prematurely. There seems to be a party at my house. Thank you all so much for joining me. That's a wrap. My name's Mocha. Good night, everybody.